They said, no, we need $17,000. I was thinking, oh, great. Okay. We're going to set the goal at $17,000. So I preached on giving. We had several lessons, actually, Sunday after Sunday, like four in a row. I preached on giving, the blessings of giving, and how God's got a bigger shovel than ours and all that. And some of the brethren had a great idea. They said, let's have a yard sale. And I said, well, we can't have a Church of Christ yard sale. And the Bible says we give on the first day of the week. That's how we do. But if you want to do that during the week and then give the money to the church, we can do that. So that's what we did. One of the brethren had a real estate office there in town. He said, you can use my building, my yard there. So people brought lawnmowers and different things, and we sold our stuff there. And so we prayed and prayed. We had the bulletin board. We had the thermometer thing with 17,000, you know, and all this stuff. And so Sunday came, and I mean, we're guys in the business meeting. We're sitting there doing this, wringing our hands, thinking, we're in trouble here. We got to get this fixed. We don't have any money. What are we going to do? Well, just see what happens. So anyway, that Sunday came, and we had our contribution. We had lunch together. So we're all having lunch that day, waiting for the men to count the money. Long story short, he came in and we raised $17,050. And people started crying. I'm not joking. People started crying. And one man stood, I'm going to cry telling the story. One man stood up and said, I've been in the Church of Christ a long time, but I have to say, I have never been more proud to be a part of a group than I am right now with this people. And so, we finally had the money. We're going to get the roof fixed. It was just part of the roof that was damaged. Well, then a hailstorm came and tore up our roof. And I'm thinking, oh no! You know, and I'm, God, we're trying. What are you doing? And guess what? Insurance company came along and said, we'll put a new roof on there for $60,000. We still have $17,000 and a new roof now. And a new roof. Then the city came along and said, we're gonna redirect the road here, so we have to take a little bit of your parking lot. It was not much, I think like five spaces is all it affected. And they said, so we're gonna give you $20,000 for that space. We got parking that we weren't even using. We got a whole bunch of parking at 20,000 for five spots. I got some more land out here. So, and so they said, yeah, we'll do it. I said, well, we'll agree to that if you'll give us those parking spaces over here. So they poured some more asphalt and some grass and gave us some more parking. And I said, you know that piece of land that when you redirect the road, you've got a little pie-shaped piece of land that's just there. It's connected. It'll be connected to our property then where the road used to be. Would you give us that too? They said, okay, we'll do that. So they gave us that little bit of land, gave us our parking spot back, gave us $20,000, and then, let me back up and tell you this. When we had that $17,000, I mean, people gave, some people sold some things that were probably valuable to them. And I told them that day, when that happened, I said, God is going to bless us. I guarantee you, God is going to bless us. I don't know how or when or how, what he's going to do. But you watch, God is going to bless this church. That's when the hailstorm came. That's when the city came. Then the gas company comes along and says, we're drilling for gas over here. We're going to give you a check for $132,000. $132,000. This is all just a matter of a few weeks. And not only that, people began to come. Visitors began to come to our church. Just came. And one of the men said in the business meeting, 2 months after we were threatened, 2 months later, he said, I get it now. I get it. 2 months ago, just 2 months ago, we were sitting here wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to? And now look where we are. We've got all this money in the bank. We've got a new roof. Well, at that time, it was being put on. And I said, I told you, if we will just sacrifice for God, if we'll do what he says, he'll take care of us. He'll provide. Isn't that what the Bible teaches over and over? God says, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to punish you. But if you will do what I say, I will bless you. Well, that's how he blessed that church because of their willingness to give. At Northwest, I said we added 84 families last year to our church. And part of it, the pyramid principle, we brought in a lot of deacons, new deacons, and started a lot of new ministries. And it's pieces are coming together, but we've stopped because we outgrew a parking lot. And so we're going to have to try to get over that hurdle. And we're redoing the foyer. And so a lot of stuff. But here's some of the things. There's a lot of different things you can do, but the Sunday school, every member soul winner is what you want. Soul seekers, number three, it's just a group. We get some people together every week that are interested in learning how to conduct Bible study. And I teach them the OBS method, open Bible study, because it's so easy. Very, very easy to do. Anybody can teach a Bible study using that. Jewel Miller Film Strips is another one. Very easy. It'll teach itself, basically. So get a group of people and get together every week and encourage one another. And use them to help you with some Bible study. Okay, let me move on here. We're just about out of time. Pitfalls: learn from the mistakes of others. You know, I mentioned last night, you can't fill a bucket with water if you've got holes in the bottom. When you're bringing people into the church, you've got to make sure you keep the back door closed. It doesn't do any good to bring them in and then they go out the back. You lose them. You know, and that happens. We get new families. Someone mentioned last night, how do we get these new people plugged in? New families that come. Well, there's a program called Welcome to the Family. And there's really not a book out there or anything. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to put something together we can put in print. But it's not my idea. Someone else came up with it. But we implemented a version of it at Northwest. And so when someone becomes a new Christian or places membership, we have a special class for them. It's only 4 weeks long. But when we get two new families or more, we bring them in. They meet in the library with the elders. And the Welcome to the Family class is simply that. We ask about them. They tell us about their family, where they're from, how they met, that kind of thing. We get to know them. And the elders tell them about themselves, how their wife is in there, and they tell them how they met. We talk about the church and what we're doing. They take them on a tour of the building, walk around, say, here's where our office is. This is Stacy's office, the secretary. Here's the preacher's office. Here's this. Here's where the restrooms are. Here's where the classrooms, all that. Take them on a tour. You let them know where everything is. And so, of course, there's other families in there, at least one other family. So they get to know them, and they're starting to make connections. And so the Welcome to the Family, then we bring in the deacons. One Sunday morning, they'll bring the deacons in one at a time. The deacons come in, and they say, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm over the Saturday Samaritans ministry, and, you know, this is what we do. My wife and I, da-da-da-da-da, I've got two kids. Let them know who everybody is. And that's really good. Give them a job. You learn what they can do. I mean, the guy may tell you, well, I used to lead singing at such and such. Well, when somebody says that, everybody's ears perk up. That's song leader. But find out what they can do. Give them a work survey sheet. I'm sure you have something like that that has people to check off what to do. You look at that and expand it. Update that thing. Come up with new ministries, new things for people to do. You may have to have 3 pages of workout sheet before you're done. But let our work survey sheet, let them have it, have them sign up for things and get them plugged in right away, give them a job. Northwest Connections is also part of this. We have one of our deacons is over this ministry. I don't know if that's in the handout or not, on one of these handouts. But what the Northwest Connections, that's just what we call it. When new people place membership, Greg James is the deacon over that. Greg gets their contact information. And let's say the Graves are signed up to be a part of that ministry. That means that they're willing to have people in their home. And so if I'm a new member here at New Rose, and Buddy is over that ministry, Buddy Graves and say, hey, David Hamrick and his family just placed membership. Could you guys invite them over for supper? Just get to know them. Sure, yeah. We'll have them. Here's their phone number. Here's their information. So give them a call and let me know how it goes. So Buddy's going to contact me, and he'll also He might also contact Alan and say, Alan, why don't y'all come over too? So this way I get to know them better, and I get to know the Ritchie family better also. Well, now I'm making friends right away. And statistics indicate if a new convert, especially, doesn't make close connections with people within 6 months, they're gone. They're gone. Got to get people connected. And so this gives the Graves a good ministry to be a part of, and it helps me get connected. And so then when I come to worship the next Sunday, I know some people now. I don't have to just go and sit down and not sure who's who. I know people. And so this is a really, really good way to get people plugged in and make sure they don't fall through the cracks. That's been a really good thing for us. That Welcome to the Family is tremendous, tremendous blessing. Okay, we're running out of time, so I will talk a little bit about promotion. When you're starting to do something, use every avenue. You know, just like I said a moment ago, showing those QR codes on those postcards. That's a great tool. Kids, especially young people, will be using that. Use the Twitter, use Facebook, use email. Whatever's available out there, use it. Utilize it to promote the work of the church, and especially any kind of activities that you're going to be doing. Make sure you promote it. Use the newspaper. Use flyers and brochures and door knocking. Door knocking is still a really good tool for advertising. It's not so good for setting up Bible studies anymore because people are not open to that that approach. But it's really good to advertise and promote. So use the different methods that are out there. Okay, here's another great idea. Boy, this was really good for us. Are y'all familiar with ministry fairs? Anybody ever done a ministry fair? Okay, you have. It's really, really an exciting, fun thing to do. What this is, once a year or maybe once every 2 or 3 years. You don't want to do it too often, but we've got deacons that are over every one of these ministries. Now, some have maybe a deacon over 2 years. Well, we don't do this one yet, but we're going to, which is another tremendous opportunity. But the ministry fair is each deacon that has his ministry makes a display. It's like you guys do with your missions weekend. He designs a display to tell about that ministry. For example, the prayer warriors, the first one, that's Tom Grayson. So he's got a display that's for prayer warriors, and he's got a clipboard for people to sign up if they want to be a prayer warrior. And they got to put their email or phone number so that he can contact them with prayer requests and all. And so he's standing there by his display. When people come walking around, Tom is there to answer questions. He's got a printout. I think you have a printout in this about prayer warriors to give you an example of that. But Tom would give those out to people that would come by his booth. I don't know if I have it or not. Does anybody have one? Should be looks like a soldier holding a spear or something. But anyway, but Tom would have those handouts. Yeah, there you go. Hold that up where everybody can see. That's what it looks like. And people would come by and pick up that flyer, and it would tell about the Prayer Warriors ministry, and some people would sign up to be a part of that. Same is true with every one of these. We're talking about how to get people involved in the work. This is a great way to do it. And it's a great way to get your ministries organized and get workers for the ministry. The women's ministry, oh my, they really went all out. I mean, their display was so beautiful. They worked so hard. They even had some crystals and glitter. It was really girly. But the sports ministry, those guys went all out too. There, in front of their display, there was a football, a bowling ball. Can you imagine if that rolled off the table on someone's toe? I was really concerned about that. They put a bowling ball there, volleyball, tennis rackets. And so this next month, we are hosting at Northwest a volleyball tournament. Different area youth groups are participating. And one of our deacons that's worked with this is also a coach. So he has access to the school gym with all the equipment, everything free of charge. So, but we, you know what we're doing? Remember this? Oh, that's not the... every work is evangelistic. We're telling these youth groups there's going to be six. You can have six people on a team, but at least two are not members of the church. Only four people on your team can be Christians. Why are we doing that? Outreach. We want them to bring somebody that's not a Christian. See, we're not just doing it to have fun. This is an outreach. So we're going to have a volleyball tournament, and we're going to have hot dogs and chips and drinks. We're going to feed them all. Then we're going to have a little Devo time. Then we're going to have the playoffs. We're going to have some ribbons and trophies and whatever. But the sports ministry. So you get the idea, though. You get the idea. Ministry fair is a great way. It builds excitement, too. It's just a great... So the elders, we were doing it just for one Sunday. We set it all up on Saturday, and the elders said, let's just leave it up for a few weeks. It was in the... Actually, when you walk in the foyer of the church building, all these displays are there. And we had a new member, a new family that just placed membership, and he came up to me that morning, because the foyer was just packed with people looking at the displays, and he said, I have never seen anything like this before. This is awesome. This is incredible. And people were signing up to participate. So this is really, really a good thing to do. The special needs program, let me say something about that. I have a daughter, some of you know. My daughter has cerebral palsy. She's 14 years old. She can't speak, can't walk. But she's very sweet, has a great personality. But before Bailey came along, I saw people with crutches and wheelchairs, but I didn't really see them. I would notice them, and then I would forget them. But when Bailey came along, man, we saw things from a whole different perspective. We started noticing people in wheelchairs. She notices people in wheelchairs. What I didn't realize is that they're everywhere. You know when you're looking to buy a car? You know how if you're looking to buy a car, and you've got a specific car, like a Dodge Charger, you know how cool those are? You start seeing them everywhere. But if you're not looking for it, you don't even notice it. But when you start looking for that car, you realize, wow, there's a bunch of those out there. That's the way this was. We were introduced to a whole new world. And I found out that there's lots and lots of people with special needs kids. Lots of them. One time, Rhonda and I were eating at a restaurant with Bailey there. And a lady came up and she said, how old is your daughter? And she said, are you familiar with Revive? They said, it's a church in Keller that has a program on Friday night. You can bring your special needs child there, and from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, they'll watch the child, so you can go out to eat or go to a movie or whatever. We're like, wow, that would be crazy. Because we couldn't go to a movie or anything, you know. So we checked it out, went, and they had a nurse there, just in case. We had to fill out a form, tell about baby's medication. They said her siblings can come, so Caleb went and stayed. We felt really good about that. But what we found out, we go to this church, and I don't know, some denomination, community church, something. And there's a line of people, children in wheelchairs and stuff, a bunch of people. And we're like, wow. Then it wasn't long at all. They went to 2 Friday nights a month. And then there became a waiting list. If we didn't sign up early enough, we didn't get to this place. And that church, I don't know how many people they have now, but it exploded in growth. They've built a big addition. And my wife said this. She said, if I didn't know the truth, this is where I would want to go to church. Because these people care. These people care. They get it. Because if you don't have a special needs child, you really don't get it. You don't know. It's a different life. So, there's a Church of Christ in North Carolina that's doing this. And I went up there for some mission stuff, but they were doing this. While I was there, they said, we've had 4 baptisms this month from our special needs. 4 baptisms. They said one family came to them. They have Bible class for those kids, too. And the mother started crying. She said to this elder, we haven't been able to go to church in years because their child would not sit quiet and they just couldn't go to church. They said, this is the first time we could ever come to worship in the evening. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Well, that is an untapped resource. I'm telling you, there are thousands of people in this area that have special needs kids. And I say this area within a few miles. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. So that's something to think about. You might have to make some adjustments, you know, handicapped restrooms, things like that. But it is well worth looking into. I guarantee you there's a great resource there. And you'll reach a lot of people with that. Remember what the number one reason for people joining a church? They care about me. This simple message. And you understand why I'm saying join, right? We know you don't join the church, but that's how they see it. Okay, this is it. I'll be finishing up here. But these are just some key things when you're putting your plan together. No more than 3 or 4 major events a year. Consider dates when you're scheduling activities. This is all basic stuff that you know. Think about the school calendar. And when you've got this many ministries going on, this is something that, you know, Alan was talking about. It's kind of overwhelming. You talk about all the different things you can do. You're going to have to coordinate with each other. So in our church office, I think I told you last night, we actually have added a second secretary to help with all of these activities. We have a big calendar on the wall. Before anybody schedules anything, we check that calendar, we check with the secretary and say, we're wanting to do this, like that sports ministry, the volleyball thing. We had to move things around to make room for that because we've got something literally just going on all the time there. But be sure you coordinate with each other. 100% member involvement. Create jobs. Think of something that Sister A can do. Don't let her sit there on that pew. I don't care if she's 90 years old. Don't let her just come and sit there. She wants to be involved. She wants to be a part. Give her a job. Now, not everybody will do it. Some people, they just determine that they are useless. I had one elderly lady tell me one time, why her husband was gone, and she said, why don't I die? Why does God keep me? She wanted to die. And I said, well, Bill, apparently he's not done with you yet. There's some things he wants you to do. He's still got some work for you to do. And they need to understand that. So try to design every ministry to be evangelist, to be focused. I would just take them one at a time. One at a time. Get with the deacon. Get with whoever's working with that. And make it an outreach. Give them a budget. Give them the materials they need to do it. Set goals that are attainable, but leave room for God to work. Don't forget God. Leave room for Him to be involved in what you're doing. Follow up, follow up, follow up. You got to do the follow-up. Get prior commitments from people in leadership before you start something. And if you've done was that New Road that went to the Dynamic Deacons thing? Yeah, okay. Well, you learned a lot from that, because he talks a lot about this kind of stuff of how important it is for the deacons to know what they're doing and to be organized and all that. And pray, pray, pray. Let me tell you one more story, and then we're gonna stop. Well, we'll open it up if you have some questions too. But when I was in Burns, Tennessee, that little church that was outgrowing the building, we hired the guy $50 a week to be our youth minister. Well, we had all these kids. We needed a church van, and we were a poor church. Our contribution was about $400 a week several years ago, but we needed a church van. We decided we needed $3,000 to raise money for a church van. And so this is talking about how to promote things. So we had a Sunday. We called it $3,000 Sunday. That's what we called it. And we had a date for that. We had somebody that's a member there that was kind of a good artist, pretty good artist. And so we got some butcher paper, and we stringed it across behind the pulpit. Big sheets of paper. And this guy drew... now I'm not a good artist, so I'll just tell you that up front. These are supposed to be light poles. See, I told you. These are light poles. And he strung it, looked like, you know, electrical lines. And this represents June 4th and June 11th and whatever, 18th. And then you get to $1,000 Sunday. This was behind the pulpit. And right here was the church van. Well, that's backwards. Church van, going that way. He drew the church van, and so guess what we'd do every Sunday with this van? Move it to here. Then the next week we move it to here. You see what we're doing? You cannot walk in that building without seeing this. And we made a big deal about it. And so, again, the members wanted to do a yard sale, and so some of them got together, they had yard sales and different things. They put cans in the classrooms, kids, when they come to Bible school, they put change in it, whatever. It said $3,000 Sunday. So we talked it up, and we promoted it. And and made a real big deal out of it. And pray. That's the last thing on there. Oh, spend a lot of time in prayer. That's so important. And I'm telling you, honestly, I don't think I ever prayed harder than this time. Because this little church needed to get over the hump, and we were really starting to grow, and God was blessing us. But I prayed, Lord, please let us get 3,000 people. We need to make this so bad. Not that we needed the money as bad as we needed the encouragement. These brethren needed to reach this goal. We needed God to bless us that way. And so when we got to $3,000 Sunday, you know, it was awesome when the collection plate was passed. You could hear tin cans with change being poured into the collection. It was awesome. And so then I get up to preach my sermon, and I'm preaching along there, and I'm really getting to the climatic part of the sermon. I'm getting ready to bring the invitation in, and all of a sudden, I'm up there preaching, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking over here to my left. And so I look, and Kenny, one of the men that counts the money of the church, he also posted attendance. You know, we had the board. You know, the little churches in the country still do that. Got the board up there with the attendance and the contribution on it. You know what Kenny's doing during my sermon? He is up there putting the contribution on the board. And so I turned and looked. We raised over $5,000. So he couldn't wait until after my sermon. And so, well, so my sermon completely changed at that point. You know, they're not hearing me anymore. So we turned our attention to that. But I'm telling you, we were so proud as a congregation that we made that. But if we would have announced, okay, next Sunday we need to raise money for a church van, put it in the bulletin so everybody give, we might have raised $1,000. But we promoted it. We talked about it all the time. Every service, that van was being moved every week. We talked about it every time we got up there. That's what you want to do for every major event. Promote. Make a big deal out of it. Spend some money advertising. When you have a gospel meeting, don't just put it in the bulletin and make announcements, send out some letters. Promote it. You know, at Kennedale, we had Brother Winkler come and do a gospel meeting. And we used those political signs. You know, politicians do it all the time. Put their face on there and stick signs in people's yards. Well, that's what we did for the gospel meeting. We had Brother Wendell Winkler's picture on there, and it said, we invite you to the gospel meeting and the date. And we put, our foyer was full of those signs. And every member of the church, when they left, every family took a sign with them to take home and put in their yard. Now, that does two things. It lets everybody in the community. There were church, there were signs all over the community. Everywhere you drive, you see these signs about Wendell Winkler. But, buddy, if there's a sign in your yard, there's a gospel meeting, New Road, and they're meeting at 7 o'clock that night, somebody drives in front of your house, where are you going to be at 7 o'clock? You better be, because if you're not, they're going to drive us. Well, look at his car sitting in the driveway, and that sign says there's a gospel meeting at his church. It motivates the members to come and be a part, because they got a sign in their yard. We bought ads in the newspaper. Well, the members buy the ad, a little small ad, that says, whatever your name is, David and Rhonda Hammer invite you to come to Northwest Church of Christ. This gospel meeting. It didn't cost much money. So we bought that ad. And we got other members to buy it. So when they opened the newspaper for the 2 or 3 weeks before the gospel meeting, people opened the newspaper, hey, well, look at there, David and Rhonda Hammer, I know them. And then they read over here, well, there's Buddy Gray. Look here, there's Pat Youngblood. You see, people see that. They recognize it. We promoted. We didn't just send out letters to area churches. We sent men the Sunday before our gospel meeting. We called in advance and got permission. We sent representatives from our church to go to that church and to make a 2-minute announcement. So they'd get up there and say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so from the Church of Christ over here. We're having a gospel meeting starting next week. We just want to invite you guys to come and help us support this meeting. I'm going to stick a flyer on the bulletin board out there. Tuesday night is youth night. We're going to have cookies and drinks for the kids. I want to encourage you, especially that night, to bring your kids. Sunday night, we're going to meet late so you can finish your service here and then come and join us Sunday night." So, and Wendell Winkler wrote several letters to the church. We put it in the bulletin. We read it from the pulpit. Promote, promote, promote. Sunday night in that gospel meeting, the church at Kennedale grew from 80 to 170 in 4 years. But that Sunday night of that gospel meeting, we had 232 people there. And that broke a record and has never been since. It's the most ever been in that building. But it was because the way we promoted that gospel meeting. And I'll tell you, in the elders' meeting, we suggested having a gospel meeting. That was the meeting where one of the elders said, "We tried that before and nobody would come." Sunday morning, 16 people responded to the invitation. I'm telling you, but it was work. And we were already studying with people. We were doing some of this other stuff we talked about. So the groundwork was done. People were already being studied with. So it's important to promote these things. So, okay, any comments or questions before we conclude? I can make this these slides available for you if you want those. Just write a little note or something with your name and an address where you want those, and I'll send them to you. I think Buddy's going to get it with a flash drive here. So if you didn't get a book, please get that. The church here at New Road is gracious enough to provide those for everybody. So appreciate that. Any comments or questions before we dismiss? Thank you. I enjoyed being with you. And God bless you. I hope that, if anything, you've been encouraged by hearing what God is doing at other places. And I know He can do a great work where you are. Be patient. God works on His time. And so you can't make promises, but we know God will bless you if you'll do your part. Let's have a word of prayer before we dismiss. And Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please? We'll just... Yeah, thank you.